My name is Garland Robinson. When we think of sin, some call it mental illness. Others call it an emotional need or social disorder. But the Bible calls it sin. In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That shows us just how widespread sin is. It's universal. The Bible also shows us the pernicious method of sin. We read in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." The Bible also tells us of the consequences of sin. Romans 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." Modern man scoffs at that idea. But yet we read a newspaper and explain murder, robbery, strife, misery, crime, all kinds of evil. The explanation is found in the Bible. It's called sin. Jesus tells a wonderful story in Luke 15 of a young man who wandered off in sin and gave his life to it, but then later came to himself and came back home. There's a great lesson in that for us, because it lets us know that when we wander away from God, we can come back home. Notice as we read in Luke 15, beginning in verse 11, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of thy substance that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that country, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. But when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and kill the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." Notice at the beginning of this story that the young man made a total break with his father. The boy's request was evidently more than a simple desire to have his inheritance. He wanted that final break. He didn't want the restraining influence of his father and his home. He made his journey into a far country. He wanted to get as far away as he could. Just as Adam and Eve hid because of their wrongdoing, so most of us want to hide when we know we're doing wrong. We don't want to be seen by those who know us. We don't want to be around those who love us. We don't want to hear their rebuke and their chastisement. But that's exactly what this young man did. He went away as far as he could go. He intended to live a sinful life. He wanted to leave home, and he did. But he could not escape the consequences of his action. As that story depicts sinful man, and that includes all of us, Romans 3:23, we need to recognize that man's always separated himself from God. God doesn't drive us away from him. We willfully depart ourselves. We read in Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." When we decide to journey to that far country, we leave God. Further evidence of this young man's descent into sin is seen in the misuse of what he'd received from his father. Whether gift or inheritance, there's responsibility that goes along with it. But the Bible says, When he received what was given him, he wasted it in riotous living. Someone had worked hard for that money. Evidently, the intent had been for the right use of it, but the young man misused it. He wasted it. He took what could have been used to help him and squandered and used it upon his own selfish, unlawful, immoral desires. You know, there are many ways that we can misuse what's entrusted to us. We can cheat and steal. We can refuse to pay honest debts. But I'm sure that one of the most common misusages is revealed in James 4 and verse 3 when it says, "We ask amiss that we may consume it upon our own lust." Friend, we need to remember that we're only stewards of what has been entrusted to us. Everything belongs to God. We own nothing ourselves. In Psalm 24 and verse 1, we read, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein." In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, "Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price." Because the world and everything in it belongs to God, we're stewards of that which falls into our care. We read in 1 Corinthians 4, 2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." This young man became totally unprepared for adversity. Jesus points out in the story that there arose a great famine in that country. Some may argue that it wasn't the young man's fault that times got hard, but that misses the point. The father had adequately prepared the son for adversity if he would use that which he had in the right way. Wasting his substance, though, in sinful living made him unfit, unprepared for the unforeseen. His life, as long as his friends lasted, was one of continual pleasure, avoiding everything unpleasant and painful. But he did not learn the lessons well that had been taught from his youth up. The depth of his despair is revealed as we see him in a hog pen. The Bible says he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, had no man gave unto him. Only now did he learn the insecurity of sin, that friends in sin are not friends at all. He was now at the lowest point he could reach. He was broke, friendless, begging without success, feeding hogs, and to the Jews was the most demeaning task, and even eating the hog feed. That's the picture Jesus paints of sin. Now here's the beautiful part of the story. This young man came to himself. That means he wasn't in his right mind when he was living an unrighteous life, but now he came to himself. He realized the insanity of his predicament. While the money was in his possession, he had the power to do with it as he chose. The problem is he made the wrong decision. There's always consequences with whatever decision we make, whether good or bad. This young man made the bad decision, and it came about with consequences. The young man, though, thinks of home. He thinks of all the good things he once had. He thinks of those hired servants of his father's. He realized he had no right to go home and expect to go right back in where he left off. But his idea was, "I'll just ask my father to treat me as one of the hired servants." So the great decision was made. "I will arise and go to my father." And he did. We often make decisions about what we should do, but this young man did what he decided, and so should we. This is what repentance is all about. A sinner comes to himself and makes the decision to come home. Come home to the Father. Come home in humble obedience, repenting, turning from sin, that we might be forgiven. Jesus then pictures the Father that while he was yet a great way off, his Father saw him and was moved with compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Hardly listening to the son's apology or his request for a job, the father prepared a party for his long-lost son. Oh, what a beautiful picture that is that Jesus paints of us of our Heavenly Father. The father could have shamed him, rebuffed him, demanded some act of good faith or any number of things, but he didn't. He loved him. He loved him as a son. He saw that the spirit of his son was broken. He saw that he desired forgiveness, and that was what was needed, repentance and a turning back again. The father declared, "This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Today, you can be raised with Christ. And if you'll cast off the old life of sin, you can come home to your loving Heavenly Father. Through Christ, we can be reconciled to God. You can be a new creature. There's no reason for you to remain in the hog pen of sin. The insanity of sin can be overcome when any sinner will come to himself and decide to go back to God. Your Father waits for you. He's anxious to forgive you. He will welcome you home as His child if you'll only obey the gospel. Why not do that? Friend, if you're ready to turn from your wicked ways, have the faith, the trust, the confidence in God enough to do that very thing. And in that faith, turn from your wickedness. Turn from your waywardness. Turn from the selfishness of your own lustful life. That begins in the mind. When you make the decision from the inside, I'm not going to live that way of life anymore. I'm going to turn unto the Father. Its evidence, its fruit, shows in the action of your turning. The action of your life, you've turned it around. That's called repentance. And having repented, you confess faith in Jesus. I believe that He is the Son of God, that He is the Savior of the world, that He lived that perfect life among men, giving us an example that we might follow His steps, and that He died for us on that old rugged cross, shedding His precious blood for the redemption of all of mankind. If we truly believe that, if we're ready to turn our life around, then we can submit to being immersed into water for the forgiveness of our sins. Just as Jesus taught in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." That was the message preached on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 37, when the people heard the apostles preach on that occasion, they cried out and said, "Sirs, what shall we do?" The answer given was in verse 38 of Acts 2, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Friends, won't you do that today? If you're living in the hog pen of life, if you've wandered far away from home, why not repent and come back? If you've never obeyed the gospel, obey the gospel today in belief, repentance, confession, and water baptism. Or if you are a Christian and you've strayed away, why not make the turn today? Come back from the hog pen of life and come back to the Father. You will be received with open arms if you'll truly, genuinely turn from your wicked ways. Confess your sins that you might be forgiven. We might pray with you and for you to be restored to faithfulness in the Lord's house. Why not do that today? This has been Garland Robinson.